Yes, it's that certain something in the air. I smell chaos.
Global warming.
Yes, it could be that too. Or it could be that guy. Did you ever pass somebody in the hallway at your office and they have that hint of raw sewage on them?
That's usually the person I'm sitting to on them, next to on the Max.
Seriously.
And there are no other seats available.
Well, because we get a lot of the, I mean, I'm not trying to speak ill of the, you know, the security here. We get a lot of the homeless guys that just hang out in the building. Because, you know, we're, as Tim will tell you here in a short while, we're here at the bottom of the top of the coin tower. Or the top of the bottom of the coin tower. The flagging him with the dragon and the blue brew that is true. Yeah. Anyway, but we get it. The security here is somewhat lacking during the day. And so, okay, because there used to be a movie theater down the hall from us. And now you'll still get the homeless guys that show up sometimes. Because, you know, whatever, they need a place to crash, a place to hang out, a place to do whatever they're going to do. And so you'll be walking through the hallways because the bathroom is not in this building. The bathroom is on the other side of the building. And you'll be walking through the hallways and you'll pass a guy. And you can't quite tell if he's a DJ or if he's a transient because they all kind of have the same sort of... They all kind of have the same sort of odor. You know what I mean? All right. It's 1 minute and 41 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of March in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day. If you had any doubts, let me clarify them for you right now. This is the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970 AM, a proud part of the CBS radio family. It is Wednesday, and I'm going to say it right now. I've been hinting at the fact that we had two big announcements, I think, coming this week. We got the first one today. At 12:15 today, we're going to make the first of, I think, two big announcements this week. Announcement the first will take place today, 12:15, about 13 minutes from now. So set your sundial or whatever it is you set. 12:15 today, we got a big announcement coming up. It's 503-733-2970. You want to get on board with today's program via the phone. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You want to email, by gosh, by golly, by gum, by wow, you can do that. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up today, Tim and I stopped gathering news at around 11:15 because there was just no point. We were awash in insanity. I mean, it's like I was ankle deep in ludicrous news stories. By that, I walked in the front door. And it's just the absurd and horrifying and terrifying and traumatic news stories were just, I opened my office door and it was just a cavalcade of inane news. So we're going to go to Florida several times today. We're going to talk to CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. We've got a corpse watch coming up later today. We've got, let's see, what else do we have? We have, here's some things we didn't get to yesterday.
We have a tip turner.
We didn't get to the following keywords yesterday. Armless, Star Jones, cow. We're going to try to get to those stories today. We did get to oily yesterday. The oil-covered, nunchuck-laden man assaulting police officers. Additional keywords from today's upcoming news stories are fetus, horse, cavorting, tainted, raw sewage, Whitney Houston. Those stories are more...
They are related, one way or another.
I swear to God. Those stories all do have something to do with each other. We'll get to that later. Also, today's top five, we didn't get to it yesterday. Today's top five. Top five bands ruined by a ballad. Top five band-ruining ballads. And we're also going to talk to Mike Skolnick later on. He's in the 2 o'clock hour. He is running the Faux Film Festival, which starts tonight at the Hollywood Theater, which is really one of your finer theaters in Oregon. The Hollywood is a fantastic place. I saw it wasn't a restored print, but I saw a print, you know, kind of an old 35-millimeter print of West Side Story there a while back. And just a big screen, and it's got that huge domed ceiling. It's a great place. We love it. And they're doing the film festival tonight. It starts tonight, showing at 7 and a showing at 9. The Faux Film Festival runs all the way through this week up till Sunday night. Anyway, so we're talking to Mike Skolnick about that later on. We've got some tickets to give away as well. And if we have time, and I'm telling you now we may not, if we have time, sometime in the 1 o'clock hour, we have a new submission for It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. It's a brand new twist on a cherished old favorite, and it's not Wing. And we'll get to that next hour. Tim Riley's working on the following stories in the newsroom for your edification today.
The president blames Saddam for continued violence in Iraq. Ted Turner blames the president. A two-headed girl dies of an infection. Police pays a routine accused of pouring urine on a student. And a Wisconsin woman is suffocated by an Easter bunny plane.
We'll explain.
Fantastic. It's all coming up.
This is the portion of the program where I try to talk about, as they teach you in radio camp, this is the portion of the show where I try to talk about what happens in the 24, you know, what happened in the 21 hours since we last talked. That's what this section on my programming matrix here, that is what this section of the program is supposed to be. It's supposed to be everything that happened between like 2:59 yesterday and like 11:59 a.m. this morning, but it's all just a blur. It's one of those days I don't even know. I'm assuming I did things. I'm imagining that I got off the air, went to my office, did whatever, went home, watched a television program or two, played some party poker, perhaps. Went to bed, I guess. Got up at a certain point, had some sort of food this morning. Came. I couldn't tell you, though. It's all just a wash. And I'll tell you why. Because, and I do realize that this is actual literal toilet humor that I'm about to engage in here. But it's all just blocked out of my mind by the fact that, because I, like all of you, and I don't want to dwell on this in any graphic or off-putting fashion, but like many of you, I have a morning routine. I get up, have my cup of Earl Grey tea at home. I put down a little breakfast, come into work, gather the news, power load some caffeine. And then somewhere like in that 11 to 11:30 window, you know, you go and you engage in your morning bathroom break, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know how you...
This is too much information.
I'm trying to be very circumspect about it.
We can gather that that must happen at some point. Perhaps a couple times.
You could have inferred that on your own. All I'm saying is, you don't really appreciate... It's like how that...
We all appreciate when it works. Once you get to a certain age, you appreciate a little bit more.
Okay, now really, that's actually more information than I wanted.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm doing the inferring, and it is not pleasant. No, but it's like that Brady Bunch where Peter had that twin in the world, and they say that somewhere in the world everybody has a twin, everybody has somebody who's just like you. You don't really appreciate that somewhere in the world there's a guy who has exactly the same bathroom schedule and habits that you do. And I haven't mentioned this. I didn't mention this Friday. I didn't mention it yesterday. I am now going on the fourth day in a row, though, where... How do I put this? There's two side-by-side stalls, because, you know, there's the stand-up business, and, you know, you get the urinals and the stall. There are two stalls side-by-side. I am now going on the fourth day where, when I go in to use the bathroom, exactly the same guy in the stall right next to me. And I can tell, there's two ways I can tell, neither of them off-putting, I hope. One is I can tell by his shoes, because, you know, I'm... You know, because I do, you know, you do the thing, see, you know, to see if the stalls swing shut here. That's the default setting, the springs bring them shut. So you look and you see their shoes to make sure you're not going to yank it on the door where some guy's doing his business.
Is he a well-heeled fellow?
No, he's not. He's a working man. He's got the and not the stylish Doc Martin type boots. He's got the, like, the actual honest work a 40-hour week for a living, just send it on down the line style boots. But, so I'm in there 4 days in a row. You know, doing what I got to do, and it's the same guy next to me, and I can tell by the shoes. But here's the thing: he works in the, I don't know if you call it maintenance custodial department. I'm not saying he's a janitor. I don't know what he does, but he's one of the guys that keeps the building up and running. 4 days in a row, same guy in the bathroom right next to me. 4 days in a row. Look, I don't know about you, but there's bathroom rules, right? Like you're standing at a urinal. You don't talk to the guy next to you, and if you do, it's one syllable words. You know, sales deal come through.
Yeah,
that's it. All other conversation happens outside the bathroom, especially, God forbid, you're at a stall next to a guy. Two people don't engage in conversation over the stall wall. You know what I'm talking about? So this guy doesn't engage in conversation with me, but 4 days in a row, while he's in there in the stall next to me, doing whatever it is he's got to do, his little, you know, that thing they were to
breaker 19
ring, and it's like they're talking to him. And then he picks it up and answers it. And so he's engaging in this long, spirited conversation about a carpet cleaning that's going to happen on the fifth floor while he's on the toilet. And I'm there, and I'm not even the one having the conversation. It weirds me out. It's just odd. You know, it's one of those things. It's like in the movies when you see the powerful Alec Baldwin character, and he's sitting in his bathroom, and he's got that white phone mounted on the wall right next to his toilet in the bathroom. Who could ever do that? Who can ever engage in a long conversation
with
somebody?
Let's get you a walkie-talkie and let you try. Is there a little envy here?
Let's do that. That doesn't sound at all like an embarrassing radio bit. I'm just saying it's all very strange. Well, let's stop this now. Ladies and gentlemen, your personal savior at the City Desk, it's Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Disgraced former lobbyist Jack Abramoff was sentenced to 5 years and 10 months in the pokey.
Booyah!
On fraud. Now, a letter obtained by the AP put a new spin on his crimes. It says, quote, Jack is a good person who, in his quest to be successful, lost sight of the rules.
Fell in with a bad crowd.
This from National Hockey League referee Dave Jackson, who described the first time Abramoff brought 14 youngsters into his dressing room before a game.
Sorry, I thought only Freddie Mercury did that.
Bada bing!
In the Florida case, Abramoff admitted concocting a fake $23 million wire transfer to make it appear like he made a large cash contribution to the $147.5 million purchase of the San Cruz casinos. Based on that fake transfer, lenders provided the pair with $60 million in financing. So there.
Well, you know, here's why you may be saying to yourself, you may ask yourself, why such a big suit? No, you may ask yourself, why do I care about Jack Abramoff? I'm trying to do my David Byrne there, but it's coming out more of like a what's her name?
Jackie Green.
No, it's not Jackie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, Jackie Green is more of a, guy came up to me, hadn't had a bite in 3 days, so I bit him. Zing! That's Shecky Green.
Henny Youngman.
No, it's coming at low, what's her name? Catherine Hepburn. I was trying
you
to.
You sounded just like Catherine Hepburn.
I was trying to do David Byrne, and it came out as Catherine Hepburn. Mm-hmm. Well, as long as it's ending in Byrne.
Yeah.
No, you know what I do have, though? Speaking of Shecky Green. Hey, wait for it. You know what's now in the system?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It's the return of the Z. Which I could have used just now in that Freddie Mercury joke. Make that joke again about the 14 youngsters in his dressing room.
Just a minute, I think I threw it away.
You can tell we take the news seriously. As soon as we get the punchline, it's into the shredder. it's mulch as soon as the joke is done.
Jack is a very good person. In his quest to be successful, lost sight of the rules, says National Hockey League referee Dave Jackson in a letter. He described the time Abramoff brought 14 youngsters to his dressing room before a game.
I thought only Freddie Mercury did that.
Ha ha, see!
All right, thank you. No, but you may ask yourself, why do I care about Jack Abramoff? Here's why.
Yeah.
Jack Abramoff is he's a scoundrel and a scallywag and and all of that, but he's a very powerful lobbyist, although apparently a completely and totally and indisputably corrupt one. But here's why that affects you, because some of y'all, and I know that you do, you play the online gambling, you play at party poker, and I'm not plugging, but you play at party poker or planet poker or poker pals or poker stars, you know what I'm talking about, the online real cash hold'em games, which is like what my wife plays. And the government is really trying to make that illegal. The government is trying to stamp out all of that online poker playing where you play with real cash. And Jack Abramoff, who was in the pocket of the casino industry in this country, he, and in some of the Indian tribes, he was the guy who was really waging war to keep poker legal online. But of course now, A, they don't have their lobbyists, and B, they gotta read in the story that in the news every day that like the guy who was on their side is like a felon who's going to a federal pokey, and so forth. So that's bad news if you play the online gambling. That's all I'm saying.
Aha! Albert and Becky Hiddenbotham were captured. Remember them? The snowbound couple lived 17 days in the wilderness.
Let me tell you about Albert Hiddenbotham and Becky Hiddenbotham. I'm going to give them again. I saw that story this morning, but I didn't pull it because that story has changed so many times in like the last 3 days, I was no longer sure whether what I was looking at was even current. Because remember how they were lost, then found, mm-hmm. then lost, then arrested, then they right. escaped, and now they're arrested again.
And they went to court. So they were stopped without incident near the coastal city of Long Beach, Washington. Apparently, some friend gave them $38 for gas. That's all we had. And with gas at $2.50 a gallon in a big gas guzzler, it's the original RV. So they went to court this morning.
And when you're given $38 from somebody, by the way, that really a figure like that does imply that it is all they have. That's really when they've gone to the Coinmaster machine. You know, they
cracked the piggy bank.
Totally.
So they went to court, and let's see, their bail is $25,000 apiece.
All right. We're about 30 seconds away from the big announcement.
All right, should I begin the Bushwatch or should I do Florida news first?
Wait, hold on. Why don't you do some news from that fine state?
Florida?
Yeah.
You betcha.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, I got one, two, three. All right.
Three stories from where?
Florida.
Fantastic.
Cape Coral police say an officer using a taser while trying to arrest a high school student who allegedly poured a bottle of urine on another student.
There's some urine on me joke.
16-year-old Luke Arnold was on the bus earlier this month when he dumped the bottle of urine on another student who was walking home. After an investigation, police say they went to arrest the Ida Baker high school student.
Ida Baker?
That should be Baker.
Ida Baker. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
All right. My East Coast accent.
I'm sorry. Ida Baker sounds like some sort of genetically engineered vegetable.
Anyway, reports say Arnold wasn't cooperating. After several warnings, an officer stunned him with a taser. He is charged with battery, touch, or strike.
Who?
Apparently that's urine pouring.
Who could have foreseen that a kid who pours urine would be difficult when the cops went to arrest him?
But they say he's in good health. For some reason.
For somebody who's just been tased.
Second story.
From where?
Florida.
Genius.
A 4-foot-long alligator apparently spent the night in a man's garage in North Fort Myers. The 82-year-old man said he tried to shoo it with a broom, saying scat, and sprayed it with a garden hose.
Okay, that seems ill-advised.
It didn't leave until three other people prodded it, and it moved on to a lake.
Why would you prod an alligator? Do not prod the alligator. If ever you take a lesson from this show, this is the time to do it.
Pour urine on it.
Alligators are not to be prodded.
Wildlife officials say the warm weather makes the reptiles more active, especially males looking for new territory and potential mates, this 82-year-old man.
Alligator wants your garage's territory, you give it to. Let the Wookiee win, let the alligator take your garage.
The mating season for alligators begins in May, so make a note of that.
All right, yes.
Now, this story belongs in Florida. Sadly, it comes to us from Illinois. An Illinois man accused of choking his 8-year-old daughter, stabbing her and attempting to drown her in the toilet, has been charged with her murder.
How hard is it to overpower an 8-year-old?
Apparently, it happens.
I'm not saying he should do it, but I'm saying what he attempted. Mm-hmm. How old is he?
He is 40. The daughter is 8.
Well, doesn't seem like it ought to be all that hard. I mean, I'm glad for her sake it was, mm-hmm.
Prosecutors say Neil Lundquist attempted to strangle his daughter in her bedroom late Sunday when his wife was downstairs and the son was in bed. He then moved the girl to the bathroom where he attempted to drown her in the toilet stab her in the back.
What? Okay. Well,
no,
you know what?
No
you,
possible motive.
No, we all know what the motive there is. We know what that motive's all about. That's called breaking the chain of evidence. That's what that motive is. That's a lot of who's daddy's special little girl. I'm just saying. Very clearly. All right, so do we have time? Well, let's do the announcement.
Big announcement.
This is a big announcement here. You hear that?
Listen to how big this announcement is. This is not like the cop thing last week that only partially, this almost completely stops my voice from reaching the microphone. That's how big this announcement is. I'm really just talking more quietly, but
you get the general.
It's the theater of the mind.
All right. It is. All right. So, as you all know, we've been talking about Matt the Law Lindland. And Randy, the natural couture. I'm gonna tell you the sport fight, which is a thing we have been talking about for a long time. We've been big fans of it. That is to say, I and you out there have been big fans. Sarah and Tim, not so much. But sport fight, the ultimate evolution of one-on-one combat. It's coming to the Rose Garden Saturday, April 8th. In fact, I was at a client meeting yesterday, and we're driving back by the Rose Garden. There it is on the banner. You know, Rose Garden sport fight. Big news. Be there. I mean, it's thousands and thousands and thousands of people. They're coming to this. And they had been doing it at Mount Hood Community College. They've now moved it to the Rose Garden. So Sport Fight, Sport Fight 15 it is now. Sport Fight 15 Tribute. Coming to the Rose Garden Saturday, April 8th. This is not the big announcement, by the way. Saturday, April 8th, 2006, 7:30 p.m. Tickets could be purchased at the Rose Quarter box office and, the Safeway outlets, Rose Quarter, blah, 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 all that stuff. And we'll talk more about that later. Matt the Law Lindland and Randy the Natural Couture are both going to be in the studio next week. Here is why you care, my friends. Here is why you care. Now, you know that the Rick Emerson Show, we love Portland. We are based in Portland. We have Portland pride. Now, during the 11 months that we were off the air, there were various conversations with various stations and various other locales. Some of those offers were formally extended, some of them were not, but in all events and in all of those cases, we passed. In all of those cases, we opted to remain right here in Stumptown, River City, the city of roses, the city that works. We stayed right here because we are all about the Portland vibe. We are about the Portland love. We are about you, the fine people of the PDX. So it is with that in mind that we are very, very proud to announce. Now, this is a fantastic thing that Sport Fight's going to be doing. As part of Sport Fight 15 tribute, which is happening April 8th, Sport Fight is going to be conducting. The fine folks at Sport Fight, they are going to be conducting, and they are going to be running, and they are going to be, you're going to be able to see it there. It is going to be a special Sport Fight 15 only bout and match that they're going to be running. And it is Sport Fight 15, city versus suburbs. Now, what they're going to be doing is, they are going to be having a special amateur bout that happens. And again, this is not like in the parking lot before. They didn't look like somebody's living room after. This is actually going to be part of Sport Fight 15. They are going to be running city versus suburbs. And what they're going to be doing is they are going to have one contestant representing or holding it down for, as the kids say. One contestant representing the city. One contestant representing the suburbs. And they will fight it out right there as a part of Sport Fight 15 for the pride and honor, to whatever extent one can have pride and honor if one is representing, say, Tannisbourne. They will be holding it down for the city and the suburbs, respectively. They will be fighting it. And the best thing about this is, though, because they know that Portland pride lives within not just us, the Rick Emerson cast and crew, but within you, the Rick Emerson audience, they have asked us to help them find the fighters and the combatants and the contestants. They have asked us to do it. So as of right now, here is what I want you all to do for me. I want you to go to Johnson970.com. Johnson, is it Johnson 970? Yeah, Johnson970. There's no AM there. Johnson970.com. Now, we're going to be talking more about this as time goes on, but you go there. There's a form you fill out. You don't have to have fighting experience. You don't have to have a fighting history. You don't have to be a licensed anything. They're going to supply everything. They'll supply the equipment. They'll supply the ring. They'll supply the ref. They're going to do all of that. What you need to do is you need to have a burning desire within you. You need to have a fiery hope within your soul that I'm speaking to you, might be able to step into the ring and represent for wherever you live, whether it is the city or whether it's the suburbs. And this is going to be happening live next Saturday, April 8th, as part of Sport Fight 15 at the Rose Garden. Think about it. Your chance to step into a ring in the Rose Garden in front of thousands of people and fight either for the glory and honor of the suburbs or the glory and honor of this, the city. So we'll talk more about it. I want you to go to Johnson970.com. You find all the rules, all the regulations. You find the form you fill out. So it's going to be fantastic. It's part of Sport 515. They're going to be doing city versus suburbs. And they have asked us, the Rick Emerson Show, to help them locate and find these combatants. So we'll talk more about it. We'll talk to prospective combatants as things go on. We're going to have Matt the Law Lindland in the studio next week. Randy Couture is going to be here. It's going to be genius. It's going to be the best thing you have ever been a part of. So go to Johnson970.com right now. And check out all the details on that. And we'll be talking about it more as time goes on. We got to do a break here. All right, come back. Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio in Atlanta. More of your phone calls at 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We return moments from now. Right here on Johnson 970. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right, thank you. Well, we are here with Tim Riley and Sarah Dillon. We've got Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio coming up here in just a moment. We've also got, what else do we have? Later coming up, we got the top five. We have all of that. We've got a brand new submission, by the way, for the worst song you've ever heard. And it is completely awful. It is completely terrible. So we were just talking about the Sport Fight 15, which is coming up. They're going to be doing a city versus suburbs thing. And I'm looking at the webpage right now, and they are finalizing that submission form right now. So that should be up. Somebody said that it is not rolling at the moment. So that should be up within just a few minutes. So we will let you know as soon as you are able to go there, put in your information to be a combatant slash contestant for city versus suburbs, which is the thing we are helping the Sport 515 guys with. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now from CNN Atlanta, radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. How are you, Ed?
Rick, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, my friend. I am rolling along. How's life in the whatever they call that down there? You're not the Big Easy. What are you?
Well, it's not the big lane anymore, the fast lane, because we've got all more construction than you can shake a stick at, you know?
Did they ever call that the fast lane?
Well, they did. It's always the fast lane in Atlanta. It's like we're a NASCAR.
No. You know what you are? No. You're from what the kids call the dirty south. That's what you are, Ed McCarthy.
Yeah, all part of it now, you know?
You're holding it down in the dirty south. That's okay. I know what we're going to find for your theme music now. I'm going to find some of the zany, dirty south gangster rap that the kids are so into these days, and we're going to make that your theme music.
There we go.
All right, excellent.
Good.
Hey, so I asked this question only because this is, I mean, I know you're talking about this, they have a new, correct me if I'm wrong, it's a new clinical trial or something for an HIV prevention or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's hard to believe it's been 25 years since the first aid cases, finally.
Good to see they're getting on that, making it job one.
Well, it's been a long time. They've just really come up negatively on everything they've tried to do here.
So to speak.
They've got two drugs there. Actually, they're on the shelves at pharmacies right now. And they're going to try these. It's two in one. Two drugs that have been used to treat HIV infection. Showing a lot of promise now. They have tested it on monkeys, and now they're going to do the clinical trials on humans.
I'm so glad I wasn't born a monkey. They get the short end of everything.
That and dogs.
Any time that there's some kind of, well, what's this? Well, it's an experiment. We're going to see how often we can hit a guy in the face with a hammer before he becomes, get a monkey. You know, it's just the worst life ever. Let me ask you this, though. Here's the thing. I talk about this because I don't really ever know how this operates, and so I'm very curious about this, because look, don't get me wrong, I'm not opposed to advancement. I'm not opposed to, so I'm for anything that makes it easier and less dramatic to have sex with total strangers. It's fine with me. My question though is, when they say that they're going to do this experiment where they're going to try to find something not treating HIV but preventing it, my question is, and forgive me if this is dumb, how do they do that? Do they just find like 100 guys, 100 people, 100 women, 100 whatever, and they say, look, we want 50 of you to take this drug. 50 of you are taking like a salt pill. Now go have a lot of unprotected sex and go.
No, that's the whole thing. The unprotected sex part is what they're worried about. In these trials, Rick, what they're going to do, the drugs would only be given to people along with counseling and condoms, they say. And they'd have regular testing, you know, so they could make sure that they haven't become infected. But that is the whole point. They're afraid that it's going to lead to a lot of unsafe sex, and you know, the life of the carefree is going to be more of a problem.
Well,
that's what they're worried about. If people think that they have something that's going to protect them, and they're going to take just a pill, it's going to be like a magic bullet, and that's what health officials are concerned about.
I guess my question is, though, like, if they're giving this pill to people and they're saying, well, look, we think it, you know, might do something to stop HIV, whatever, and they're giving it to them with a rubber. Then it's like, how do they ever, I understand that you're not a scientist, by the way, but then how do they determine if it's the pill or if it's the fact that they gave them a condom?
That is a good question, because I think they're going to have to find out whether or not they are HIV positive to start. Because of these tests with the monkeys that they used, the monkeys were exposed to HIV in the beginning, and they were given the pill, a mist of this pill,
right.
And it worked, and the other ones were not. The other monkeys were not, and they got the HIV, the virus-causing AIDS. So that's how they're going to look at it, I'm sure.
If I'd gone to more of my high school classes, I'd understand this. It's all just such a mystery. Science is just a big... just a big amorphous, like, really, if I was just one shade dumber, I would be a creationist, because it's all such a mystery to me. I don't understand how any of it operates.
Well, you know, you got me going the other day. We were talking about the bird flu.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go a little bit further in depth, because I'm going to probably do a series down the road on that. And I really want to find out. I mean, is this something that we can really definitively say is going to happen or not? And, you know, is there going to be a way that we can actually fight this with some kind of a vaccine or not? I guess we're talking the same thing here. I mean, 25 years later, and we're still, in the infancy stage of trying to find a cure for this or prevention.
It just seems like it's one of those things. Like it, as I think somebody once said, I forget who said this. Probably the late Sam Kinison. But it's like two decades. There ought to just be Scotch Guard by now. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter if you find some woman at a bar, spray her, she's fine. You know? So
I know you feel that way when you think about it. I mean, you saw that movie with Bill Murray. What about Bob? Where you know he has a cloth on his hands as he's
right.
opening the doorknobs, and the way the world is going, you feel like that sometimes.
I really don't like, and this, I mean, this is something as many people have said. I don't like having, especially like, I don't know if you're much of a night owl, if you're going out there and painting the town red, Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio. But I'm just saying. You go to a bar, you go to a club, you go to whatever, and it's like you're having to do everything with your toe, you know? It's like open the door, flush the toilet, just everything with my foot. And it's just, I'm getting tired of it. They gotta move on with this research, you know?
They all wash their hands, we wouldn't have to worry, Rick.
Dude, I've become, do you know, and it's like, I the worst thing that they ever did to me was give me a health class in school where they showed me what the bacteria that lives on like a dollar bill. You know what I mean? It's like, this is what we found on a $5 bill in a metropolitan subway. And it's just like covered in schmutz and goo and ooze. And so I've become that guy. I wash my hands 100 times a day and I have that alcohol disinfectant everywhere I go.
All the time.
Yeah, it's the worst. All right, Ed, you and I need to run the world. We'll get things popping right.
We'll get them safe, right?
Thank you, Ed.
All right,
Ed, there you go. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. There in Atlanta. All right, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, here's Tim Riley.
All right, let's move ahead back to our sound bites again and bring on a Bushwatch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's we're going to roll with your Bushwatch here for Wednesday.
Kind of in charge, he's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard, that's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name.
Hey, what's that thing?
It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our man. That's my Bush.
Well, the president said that it is Saddam and not U.S. involvement in Iraq that's responsible for this ongoing violence that is threatening the formation of a democratic government.
It's amazing how Saddam can do that from like a tiny little veal fattening pen where they've had him live in for the last 3 years.
I know. In his third speech this month to bolster public support for the war, like it's working very well.
Yes, so it's paying big dividends.
Yeah, he worked to counter critics who say the U.S. presence in the war-torn nation is fueling the insurgency.
Uh-huh.
He said Saddam was a filthy tyrant who used violence.
He's filthy. I have seen photos of him. But I like how somehow the you understand this, that it's weird that the longer we've got a guy in jail where he's doing nothing, the more dangerous he somehow becomes. This is the thing they were doing with Milosevic, and they're doing it now. It's like somehow Saddam is sitting there in a small box covered with bars, and yet he's become Magneto. You know what I mean? He's become Lex Luthor, where he's able to do everything just through the sheer power of thought from his prison cell.
So meanwhile, the president wants to remind us, we're going back to sound bites here.
Ah, yeah, look at how I'm all over that.
That democracy is flourishing and spreading around the world.
From Kabul to Baghdad to Beirut and beyond, freedom's tide is rising.
I have not written this myself.
And we should not rest. And we must not rest until the promise of liberty reaches every people and every nation.
Okay,
no naps for now.
No, I gotta say though, he's obviously got a new speechwriter.
Yep.
The sacking of Andy Card has already started to pay off because let's listen. That's
I didn't hear the phrase. It's hard work. Once in that one.
That's some pretty good linguistic flow. Hold on.
From Kabul to Baghdad to Beirut and beyond.
That's worthy of Rick Emerson right there.
And we should not rest, and we must not rest until the promise of liberty reaches every people. And every nation.
See, that's some writing.
I don't think we can afford that.
I'd be happy to see. That's some writing out of that. Kabul to Baghdad and Beirut and beyond. It totally has that kind of, you know, that's kind of a little me to it. Way to go, George.
The president says Iraq used to have unbelievable brutality at the hands of Saddam, and that can never be forgotten.
Iraq is a nation that is physically and emotionally scarred by 3 decades of Saddam's tyranny. Mm-hmm. And these wounds will take time to heal.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Right. Okay.
So let's move ahead to global warming, where the president acknowledges, yes, global warming is there, but it's uncertain whether it's man-made or a natural event.
I thought that the global warming...
I told the world I thought the Kyoto was a lousy deal for America. And I tell you why it was a lousy deal for America. It meant that we had to cut emissions below 1990 levels, which would have meant I would have presided over massive layoffs and economic destruction.
Yes, as opposed to the burgeoning, booming economy we've got now. Just say it. It's a bad idea because it was Bill Clinton's idea. That's why. This is the all Bill Clinton's fault.
brigade out there again. And I thought,
yes,
whatever happened to all that consistency that he's known for? That where, you know, you may, that thing that we had to hear over and over again. Well, you may disagree with what he says, but you got to admit he takes a stand and he's consistent and he sticks with it. Wasn't up until like 5 minutes ago, wasn't he saying that global warming didn't exist?
Yeah.
The global warming is like one of Clyde's photos of like a cloud somewhere that he was claiming was some sort of an alien invasion force. This is, because it's like they would show him, like, look, here's a big pile of melting ice and a polar bear with nowhere to sit. And we're like, well, you can interpret that data many ways. And so now it's suddenly not, though. Now it is global warming. Well, all right.
That is our Bushwatch for today.
There's your Bushwatch.
Kind of in charge. You've got the whole country saying, that's my bird.
Well, that Abkhan man who converted to Christianity and could have had his head chopped off for renouncing Islam has finally arrived in Italy for asylum. Earlier, the prime minister there said Italy would be happy to grant asylum to this Rahman fellow, and the Italian cabinet approved an amnesty earlier, so they flew in a plane, picked him up, and now he's going to be an Italiano.
You will note, by the way, for the record, because I am not a hack most of the time, that I at no point, I have eschewed the ramen jokes. I have never made jokes about Top Ramen, Case of Ramen.
I gave you plenty of time to do it, too.
Throw out the, no, it was you later right there, but you know what? I passed over that. That is the low-hanging fruit. I'm above that as a comic and as an entertainer. I don't want any part of it. No, sir. I don't like it.
Well, it goes to show a lot of people listen to Jim Roop, who said most of those people protesting in L.A. just wanted to get out of school and have some fun.
Just punks.
Well, this time, only a handful of students staged more street protest against proposed immigration legislation in the L.A. area. While the majority of students stayed in school, we have here L.A. Unified School District Superintendent Roy Romer, who said students who cut classes today will be considered truant and severely punished.
Tasered.
No, Gusta. We don't like what the ministermen do to us.
What? Who is that?
That was supposed to be the L.A. Unified School District Superintendent.
I think I've pinpointed their literacy problem.
No, Gusta. We don't like what the ministermen do to us.
Yes, this is...
What, the what men?
I think we've... Wait, hold on.
No, Gusta. We don't like what the ministermen do to us.
Is that a donkey?
The ministermen?
I believe he said the Minutemen.
Minutemen. Yes, I don't like the doughboys either.
No, Gusta. We don't like what the ministermen do to us.
The meanest men. Is that like Kaiser Soze? He's the meanest. All right, if somebody out there speaks, I don't know, illegal immigrant.
That's Spanglish. That's known as Spanglish.
As Jamie Presley would say on My Name is Earl, not as I, Rick Emerson, would say.
Who watches My Name is Earl?
I watch My Name is Earl.
Oh, okay.
As Jamie Presley, in the character of Joy, would say, if you speak maid, if you can let us know...
No, Gusta. We don't like what the ministermen do to us.
Neither does that donkey.
If you speak... Okay, I'm just saying. If you speak cleaning guy...
No, Gusta. We don't like what the ministermen do to us.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out. Rick Emerson show. What the hell is he saying?
Dude, he's saying management.
Management?
Management.
Are you putting on a fake accent?
No.
Okay, I'm just asking. Don't get offensive.
No, Gusta,
no, it's
we don't
okay.
like what the ministermen do to us.
Yeah, it's management.
Okay, I guess I can...
Just play it again, man.
No, Gusta, we don't like what the ministermen do to us.
I can sort of see that.
All right.
Some vowels. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right, there you go. A little vowel substitution going on there. I swear to God, I thought that was a fake accent for a second.
I thought it was Peter Carlin. That's what it sounded like to me.
Peter Carlino. No, it just sounded all up. Rick, I have called to tell you what the soundbite says. I thought it was... Let's move on. Do we have more? Is it the end of that sound?
Yeah, that's the end of that story.
All right, let's move forward, as they say.
Are you scared about getting the bird flu? Well, the only true safe way to protect yourself is to go vegetarian.
Uh-huh.
Headlining a new Chinese and English language website, Avian Flu, It's Your Fault. The Asian branch of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals says it is drawing attention to unsavory farming practices.
All right.
They cram together thousands of chickens in buildings, and they all die.
You know, thank you. Okay, look, I got to tell you, this is why no one likes PETA. I'm not saying that people should go out there and be, I don't know, flogging cattle or whatever it is that PETA claims happens. I'm just saying, and I'm not, Tim, and this is no reflection on your vegan lifestyle.
I didn't think it would be.
I'm just saying.
I know.
I'm just saying this is, it doesn't matter whether you agree with all of the things that PETA's for. On the one hand, I sort of admire them because they're just so in your face and they just don't care if anybody hates them. But on the other hand, it seems like PETA accomplishes like almost less than nothing. Like, I can't think of anything they've ever been, because really, everybody, if there was a magic button, if there was a magic button you could press somewhere, and it's like you press this button, and all of the members of PETA, like, they suddenly just exploded. They suddenly just combusted into little piles of PETA ash.
Or died like chickens in a coop.
Everybody would press that button. No one likes them. Everyone hates. It's the same with Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And no one will say that out loud, but I will. That I'm not for drunk driving. All I'm saying is everybody dislikes Mothers Against Drunk Driving for no real reason. There's no rational reason behind it. There's nothing you can point to. I don't think anybody can explicate why they feel that way, but it's true.
I don't even know one. Well, I've never been a mother against drunk driving.
They all live in your neighborhood, probably. They all live out there in the suburb. They don't live here. Not like they live in Southeast. Have you ever met anybody in Southeast Portland that's against drunk driving? No.
No.
So there's some people, I mean, I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm sure it's a serious issue that has never been solved or diminished by any ad campaign. I'm just saying. Oh, wait, now this guy says the translation is wrong. Rick, we don't like what... Okay, this guy claims it is Minutemen. Rick, we don't like what the Minutemen do to us, referring to Arizona vigilante or vigilante.
Federales.
Groups. Going right to hell. That's Jeff.
A lot of people have been calling in saying business management.
Now, see that guy who called in, that guy, he always has a fake accent. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, it's good people are so concerned about the news and follow it so closely.
Well, they're concerned about the plight of the less fortunate. Let's listen again.
No, no, Gustav, we don't like what the businessmen do to us.
I hear businessman. That doesn't sound like manager. I should have asked that guy what ethnicity he was. He was probably, he was probably from Antarctica or something.
He's Bulgarian.
He's probably some Bjork guy. Okay, here's Tim Riley.
See, speaking of Portland, we noticed that the fountains downtown have been turned back on again. They were shut off during the fall, and now they've been turned back on. So now you can get a drink at Skidmore Fountain, the Holiday Park Fountain, the Jameson Fountain, and the Elk Fountain.
Where? What fountains?
The Skidmore Fountain, the Holiday Park Fountain, the Jameson Fountain, and the Elk Fountain.
So the homeless will be able to scrub their flesh clean once again. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Then that's really what matters in this world.
Why did you hear about this? A Portland woman says she has been stalked online by a man who took over her email account. A 19-year-old Marie said a man was stalking her over the Internet and hijacked her email account. A month ago, Marie received an instant message from her friend she hadn't heard from in years, asked her to turn on her webcam. She immediately knew something was wrong and discovered that a strange man had taken over her friend's email. It wasn't long before the stranger did the same thing to her.
That's unnerving.
He locked Marie out of her own account, changed her password, and then started contacting her friends and family under her screen name.
Jesus. That's like some Sarah Dillon action there with the, hi, I am Sarah. I am on MySpace. Please to add me to your friend list. All right.
Meanwhile, kids are choking on Easter candy. No, apparently.
No, this is the second. Is this the same story? We've actually got two. Two choking to death on Easter things today.
Let me make sure I have
the... When is Easter coming up? Is it Easter now?
Easer is a couple of weekends.
Is it a couple of weeks? Okay, so we're getting a head start. See, it's tomorrow's news today. It's tomorrow's horrific yet strangely amusing deaths. Yeah, today. It's what we do here on the Rick Emerson.
Oh, do you want to hear about the cotton candy stick that was stuck in the boy's mouth first?
Oh, yeah. Hand that to me.
Well, here you go.
Okay, now over there somewhere, you can tell all the preparation and work that goes into this news hour. Here's what you've got in your pile.
Two-headed girl, lots of infection.
Have we even gotten to the fetus hoarding?
No, that's under corpse watch. Okay. I mean, we're way behind.
I swear to God, we're not making any of this up. So
we need like a second frequency to carry on two shows simultaneously.
We really do. I mean, that's the thing. I should franchise this show out, like they're probably going to do with Kiss someday, where there's like four different Kisses, or like the Drifters, how there's like three different Beach Boys groups doing the kind of... We should franchise this out. We should get some guy who can talk like me, we'll get some redheaded girl and a news guy, and then we'll have other Rick Emerson shows in other markets. This is a genius idea. Think of the money we could make. I mean, you know...
As long as we don't get a consultant who tells us to do stupid things the rest of the show.
Well, no. No. I'll be the consultant, and it'll be genius and flawless. I mean, just listen to us. So we should totally franchise this show out. They could use one of these in the, you know, Yakima or some fine thriving metropolis like that. And it'll, you know, and you get a guy to come, you know, that comes on and does a bad me.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so you've in your pile, Tim.
I have the.
You've got.
Wisconsin woman suffocated by Easter bunny plate, and
that's what I'm talking about. Woman suffocates on Easter bunny plate, and you've got the kid who suffocates on the Easter candy.
Let's see.
And then I've got the thing about the kid with a cotton candy stick in his brain.
I don't know where to start. Really.
really, it's what my wife would call the tyranny of choice.
Okay, so this Easter candy one is probably, see, we want to build up momentum here, so let's begin with this.
All right, well, let's roll with that.
Anthony Thomas Candy Company of Columbus, Ohio is recalling 6-ounce and 12-ounce packages of Anthony Thomas filled Easter eggs, not because kids are choking, it's because they contain yellow number 5 and yellow number 6. People who are allergic to yellow number 5 and number 6 could die. No injuries reported so far.
Okay.
The eggs are distributed to Alabama. Like, that would hurt them down there. Come on, you Alabama.
Come on.
Oh, I can say it. I'm not going to say it. There are plenty of these to be found in Alabama. See your local merchant. Head over to the general store and buy Anthony Thomas Easter candy. Specifically, ask for the ones with yellow number 5 and yellow number 6.
They're probably discounted by now.
coconut cream, peanut butter, buttercream, fruit and nut. They got these all covered.
What? What? Is that
chocolate fudge pecan? What is that? Chocolate fudge pecan? Oh, only in Alabama would people eat this anyway.
That's like the land of tobacco down there.
Now, these are covered with a clear cellophane, but feel free to eat that too. Those who purchase the eggs, except for those in Alabama, should return them for a refund. Okay, that's only the first one.
That's one of three. Okay. Let's move forward to the second one.
You want me to do this?
Oh, yeah. No, okay. I don't care.
A Wisconsin woman has been suffocated by an Easter bunny plate. Dateline, Spencer, Wisconsin. A woman who died at her Spencer home was apparently suffocated by a ceramic decorative Easter bunny plate.
You really got to work to get a whole plate down your throat.
Wait a minute, it had been shoved down her throat. And they're charging her husband with murder.
Well, this is
probably premeditated. I'm going to do it. If you say one more word, and I'll jam this Easter bunny plate right down your throat.
I wonder if he rotated, like if he fantasized about it, but it was sort of a holiday death. Mm-hmm. Like he just sort of, like he rotated in his head, like, I'll choke you with this Santa plate. I'll choke you with this ceramic witch.
He wrote it in his diary.
Certainly. If I have to kill Margie today, use Shamrock from couch. Use zany Valentine's Day heart candle.
Well, the autopsy found parts of the plate had broken off and lodged in the victim's throat, blocking her air passages.
I would imagine so.
The pieces were believed to be bunny ears.
I wonder if it occurred to her as she was joking.
The defendant telephoned a funeral home Saturday to say his wife died suddenly, and the funeral home called police who arrested him at the home. He's charged with obstructing an officer, too, the husband here. Authorities say he was unresponsive and refused to move a chair that blocked the door. So the officers had to kick the door down.
The best part is how he doesn't even call the cops. Like, I don't know whether I fear criminals more or less because of this, because they're just so stupid that he doesn't even call the cops, doesn't fabricate a cover story. He skips that, goes right to the mortician. Yes, my wife appears to have... She somehow inhaled a plate. You'd really have... Look,
she fell on the bunny plate.
It was just so tasty, your officer. Even if you really, really, like, hated somebody, you got to work to get a whole plate into somebody's mouth. She either had a really big mouth, maybe it was more of a tea saucer. Maybe it was just...
No, it says here bunny ears.
Well, all right. So the moral is that with plates, like as in candy, you always eat the ears first.
He tried the basket first, but her mouth wasn't wide enough.
Okay. All right. Should I do this one?
Yes. Yes. Please do.
This is
we saved the best for last.
This is only tangentially related. It is candy oriented.
It's candy oriented.
It's a candy oriented death.
The best kind.
This was in Japan, where all the best stories come from. Japan is sort of like one big Florida in some ways, like Germany.
Well, they haven't done anything constructive since they made BCRs. Now there's nothing left for them to do over there.
And they're a very cruel race. They made the VCR and that was it. Their whole country's been sliding into mediocrity since then. A doctor who failed to notice. Listen to this. It's not just the removal part. It's the noticing part. A doctor who failed to notice. How do they train these people? Failed to notice or remove a cotton candy stick lodged in the brain of a small child. That brings up all kinds of questions. who did not bother to hospitalize the victim, and who, the court acknowledged, tried to cover up his ineptitude. This is the great thing about Japanese print. It's like the British tabloids. They don't bother to fudge the issue. They just go right for he's inept. Was cleared Tuesday of negligence resulting in death. Prosecutors had demanded he be sentenced to a whole year in prison for ignoring, again, a cotton candy stick lodged in the brain of a boy. Presiding Judge Masaki Kawaguchi recognized Nemoto's negligence in failing to conduct a full exam. Well, in all fairness, it's not really the sort of thing that you would... Like, I don't know that it's on the fact. Like, the frequently asked... Like, do you have any sort of bleeding? Any kind of rash? Stomach upset? Cotton candy stick lodged in your brain? Psoriasis. You know, like...
Check in the box if you think that's...
cotton candy stick lodged in your brain? That's sort of an other. You know, please explain. The judge reckoned that the boy's life could have been saved were very slim. Now, this is part of the court decision. Even if the defendant had noticed that the cotton candy stick remained in the boy's brain. Shunzo Suguno, this is like your thing with the plate, fell on his face while holding a cotton candy stick in his mouth at a summer festival in Tokyo. Oh, this explains how. The stick punctured the back of his throat, penetrated deep into his brain. Nemoto was the doctor on duty for ear, nose, and throat problems, and I don't really even know where... I don't even really know which category that falls into. A postmortem found an 8-centimeter stick still lodged in the boy's brain. That's unpleasant. Well, okay. The doctor argued the accident was unprecedented, and thus he could... not have reasonably known to inspect the boy's brain for a cotton candy stick.
I'm on the doctor's side.
That I really am. That does seem like justifiable ignorance in that case. It's really, if I asked you to list like the top 500 things that could be lodged in somebody's brain or just wrong with somebody, period, that's going to be somewhere near dead freaking last. All right, I'm going to put that over here. Do we have to break, sir?
Yeah.
All right, okay. We're going to take a break. Here's what's coming up. We have It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard as brand new twist on an old favorite today. What else? We have today's top five. Top five band-ruining ballads coming up. We're going to get to this news pile. Still to come, the following words will be part of today's upcoming news stories. Star Jones, Whitney Houston, Armless, Horse, and Tainted. That's all coming up. Plus, we'll talk more about Sport 515 and so forth. Don't go anywhere. It is the Rick Emerson Show. We're live from Portland. You stay right there.